parallel historically?
There is somewhat of a parallel, but I think unlike the Great Depression, I mean, you had so many workers risk their lives. And similar to the way that, you know, a lot of guys came home from World War II, men like my grandfather came home and, you know, they organized on the job. They felt that they were owed that after being in combat in France, as my grandfather was. And so, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of folks who, you know, I was out with some UPMC workers that were describing having mental health breakdowns. And that, you know, these were folks that were cleaning hospital rooms and bringing food to people and describing having to go to mental health clinics because of the severe anxiety of COVID. You know, a friend of mine is a childcare worker and, you know, lived with her mother and lived in constant fear of bringing it home to her mother. I mean, we have a generation that's traumatized, and out of trauma, like out of the Civil War, I think people want to build back a better. I know that seems like a cheesy slogan, but it was actually quite interesting. I was on a picket line in Huntington, West Virginia at the hospital there, 1,000 workers on strike there. And the workers found these build back better signs that SEIU had. And I went and I asked, you know, this was in Huntington, West Virginia, where Joe Manchin, the senator, is against it. I went and I asked them, I said, is this a strike over build back better? And they said, oh, no, no, we just found these signs in the union hall and thought it was a nice slogan, you know, about how we want to build back a better society. I think it's a nice slogan, but I think there is something to be said there, is that people have gone through this severe trauma. I mean, I was immunocompromised. I lived alone. I was single. It was not fun, you know, spending months at home alone here. And I don't think anyone ever wants to return to that kind of fear that we felt. I mean, certainly there's some elements that are very anti-vaccine, but even that is waning. There was a good article today in the New York Times by Ben Smith about a NASCAR driver who didn't want to be associated with anti-vaccine people because it would hurt his brand. You know, this is a Southern Republican who just didn't want to, you know, let's go Brandon. His name had become a chant. And he said, I just want to drive race cars. You know, I think using my name as some sort of anti-vaccine thing is pretty counterproductive. So I do think there's a political realignment that's going to occur too at one point in some of these states, some of these places, because, you know, you're looking at the South, right? You're looking at Raleigh. You're looking at all these school districts in the South where they have school bus drivers sick outs and strikes, and they're demanding more money through the CARE Act for that. And so, you know, we're seeing bus drivers in places like Raleigh get $3,700 a year retention bonuses and get raises, and they don't have collective bargaining rights. We just saw the teachers in Richmond became the first teachers in the state of Virginia to get collective bargaining rights. And I've spent a lot of years in the South, and the South is changing. The labor market is particularly short there. So I think we're going to see political realignment based on some of the growing workers' movements. I mean, looking at the Black Belt, New Orleans, you're looking at Southern Georgia. We're seeing a lot of garbage truck workers, school bus drivers, transit workers, people that were public workers with no collective bargaining rights, now going on wildcat illegal strikes demanding more. And I think that's going to lead to some political realignment.
Well, I couldn't be a better prognosis for our audience for 2022 than thinking about and taking heart from what you've said, Mike. Thank you very, very much for joining us. I wish we had more time. And I think we're going to ask you to come back and continue this conversation. So thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me on.
My pleasure. And to all of you, let me remind you that I look forward to speaking with you in the new year and again next week.
WBAI is local station board, the Pacifica Foundation board responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next meeting on Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be the occasion of a delegate assembly to elect WBAI representatives to the Pacifica National Board. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held through the Zoom remote meeting service. The meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929 929- 925-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. That's 922.457.2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So it's 995.995.99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure hope that you do.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Economic Update with Richard Wolf, heard Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. right after the WBAI Evening News. Usually in this hour, Off the Hook would be on the air. They'll will return at its regular time next Wednesday at 7 p.m. In the meantime, take a listen to the program that's about to air.
I'm Gary Nall, and it's a pleasure being with you during this hour. As everyone knows by now, WBAI is in the midst of its fundraising efforts. We're doing all that is reasonable to try to raise funds for the sustaining of this station, a wonderful station. In fact, of all five Pacifica stations, I've been on BAI for about 45 years, and I can tell you that it has some of the most progressive programming in all of Pacifica. But we have to support that. And today we have some familiar faces and voices, Christine Bosdell. And Christine, where are you at right now in the United States?
Actually, I'm not in the United States. I'm currently down under. Gary, I'm in Australia, New South Wales.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us. And Dr. Roy Spicer. Dr. Spicer is an outstanding scientist. His background is from Rutgers University. He has a doctorate from Rutgers in microbiology. He has published a lot of articles. But more importantly, I bring Roy on because he's a water expert, specifically about the quality of our water. And that's what our program is going to be about today. We're going to begin with Roy giving us the latest update from not just the United States, but around the world. Some places like in Sydney and Australia, where you're at, in Brisbane, they've had tens of thousands of people that have been evacuated because of flash flooding, where just a year ago they were in the midst of a massive drought, still are in a drought, but they had over, I believe it was somewhere between 100 million plus animals die because of the fires. The whole country was ravaged. So you go to these extreme weather events, again, all caused by global warming, and most of that is caused by human input. And so that's just in one country. In the United States this year, in the last 12 months, we saw, for example, just 2 weeks ago, the Arctic vortex, where, and again, this caused by global warming. Unfortunately, for Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and others who have said, even Tucker Carlson, that global warming is not an issue. It certainly is, maybe not in their world of life, but trying to say, well, look how cold it is out, so where's your global warming? Well, it's because of global warming you have that. I'm not going to go into the science on that now, but that's what's causing it. But we had the coldest weather in the history of Texas, -0.3 degrees, and 18 inches of snow, then another 8 inches of snow, then another 6 inches of snow. They've never had that. Lots of people were without heat and water for a long period of time. And again, they had no water. And the water they did have was not safe to drink. And we're not talking about a few people. We're talking about up to 5 million people living in Texas. And it took a long time to get the power back on. But it was also a lot of other states. And then you have places that get too much water, what are called water bombs, where the sky opens up and a huge amount of water falls, and or you get a hurricane that stalls at 3 to 5 miles an hour. And in Houston, 3 years ago, it dropped 21 trillion gallons of water in an afternoon. It caused 5 feet of flooding because there's a cap of clay down there. Everything's built on clay, so there's no place for the water to go. So you start seeing people whose homes were flooded and all these good civilians, good citizens, coming out in their boats, their fly fishing boats, et cetera, and helping people get to safety. But we were unprepared. But then again, we were unprepared for Katrina. We were unprepared for Hurricane Sandy. In fact, this radio station you're listening to, WBAI, was actually closed down because of Hurricane Sandy. Interesting, because when I was calling all day long and saying, there's a high probability you're going to flood it down there, and I said, no, we're not going to get flooded down here. And I remember the last call I made was between 6 and 7 o'clock. I said, well, look, uptown here at 83rd and Broadway, we have backup generators. We have offices that we've set aside for your staff. We're going to go on pre-record so you can do your programs live. And I've filled it with enough food and water to last you a month. And cots in a major room down there, so people who didn't have a easy place to commute could be there. Everything you needed. I was told, stop calling us. You're bothering us. 3 hours later, I get a call. Gary, is that offer still open? I said, why? He said, well, the water's up to the telephone pole or the light pole. It's up to the lights. And people couldn't get in or out of the building. And needless to say, the generator went off because it was in the basement. And yeah, I was off the air for the next month or so. And we broadcast from my studios. By the way, before that, on 9/11, we broadcast from my apartment for almost a month while the station was not able to be used. In any case, we don't seem to learn anything from our historic crisis. We're not prepared. Some people are. But the average American is unprepared for any disaster. FEMA is always unprepared. Always. It can't do anything right and in preparation. And yet we're getting worse events than ever before we've seen. In fact, last year we had 5 once-in-500-year events in 1 year. We also had the worst fires, worst flooding, a Category 6 hurricane, never saw that before, and 2 Category 5s hit Florida. So we're in a place now where we've got to pay attention to just the basics. How clean is our water? How safe is our water? When you turn on the tap and the water looks clear, does that mean it's clean and safe to drink? And what do you need to know to make your water cleaner, safer, and so that your body is somewhere a little over 72% water? Shouldn't you make sure that the water goes into your body is good water? Basic questions, simple questions. So I've invited Dr. Spicer on because this is where he lives every day, in the science of water chemistry and trying to provide people with understanding how they can make sure that their water is safe. And by the way, we all remember Flint, Michigan. We all remember the astronomical lead levels, over 5,000 plus times higher than what was considered safe by the EPA. And yet now today, that water supply is still polluted. And a lot of homeowners lost their home because they couldn't pay their water bills, because they couldn't drink the water, and they didn't think they should have to pay their bills to the city. And boy, they learned a lesson about that, as did citizens in Detroit as well. So now we learn that there's thousands of towns, communities, and cities in the United States whose water is as bad or worse than Flint. Why isn't this front page news? Why hasn't the stimulus package gone to rebuild infrastructure, to rebuild our bridges and our streets and prepare us for the future, help cities that are on the coast and homeowners, provide homeowner insurance? Because right now it's hard, if not impossible, to get insurance. And because insurers took a bath the last time there was a big hurricane 2.5 years ago here in Florida. So they're really pumping up the rates. They're not providing insurance at all. And if they do, it's a tricky insurance. Do you have wind insurance? Do you have flood insurance? Do you have hurricane insurance? Because you might have one, and they're going to say, well, the damage was due to the other two. They play every game in the book. I know they played it on me down here at my animal sanctuary. So we've got a little bit of time now. We're going to turn it over to Dr. Spicer, and he's going to give you a real update and important information that could help you with your health concerning water. Roy, the forum is yours.
Thank you, Gary. Well, first, other than air, water is the most critical substance for sustaining life. All of our body's life processes depend on clean water. And without it, we cannot survive more than a few days. Unfortunately, when we turn on a tap, the water you are drinking is not clean, healthy. It's a toxic brew. So the notion that safe drinking water is coming out of your tap is a myth. The fact is that tap water gets a passing grade from the EPA doesn't mean it's safe. In fact, far from it. Our water delivery infrastructure has been crumbling for decades. And as you mentioned, the government has failed to allocate funds necessary to maintain our country's failing main pipes, some of which have been around for more than a century. Flint, Michigan is a good example of what happens when you don't do the proper procedures to clean the water. Those pipes were made almost of lead, concrete, and some iron. And they eroded and disintegrated, causing residual toxins to leach into the water, particularly lead. And people were drinking this every day. They were drinking it, cooking with it, and bathing with it. The treatment plants failed, and they were never designed properly, and they didn't use the proper treatment to maintain the system. So as a result, across the country, water supplies are playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette with the chemicals in our drinking water. They're adding all types of cancer-causing chemical agents upon disinfecting the water, and it's feeding our country's already chronic disease epidemic. For example, chlorine is the government's disinfection chemical of choice. However, when you chlorinate the water, as it goes into the main system, there's organic material in the main and rotting materials that cause disinfection by
2022 agenda. Legacy is also the same day that the New York City Council voted in a new speaker for the today that will last 2 years because of redistricting. Dr. Christine Greer, elections coming up for City Council in Fordham University. Adams, of course, the first Black Speaker of the New York City Council. And much more as we have said goodbye to Bill de Blasio era as mayor of New York City. And Mayor Adams has taken office since the last time we spoke. And that's what we're focused on here today on the show, a look back at Bill de Blasio's mayoralty, his legacy over 8 years in charge, the first Democratic mayor after 20 years of Republican independence, Bloomberg, and if you've missed any recent episodes,
I think it's I'm going to
0.99%. And we don't get any breakthrough of parasites with the ceramic. It's a much superior filter in terms of particle reduction, parasite reduction, and that's a very key feature. Not only is it better on parasite reduction, you have a tiny amount of silver baked into the ceramic, which prevents the regrowth of any bacteria or parasites that are trapped in the ceramic. Now, why is that important? Well, carbon blocks, if they only use a carbon block, bacteria can get in there. There's nutrients in there. And if you don't have something to stop their regrowth, they can breed in there and become a health hazard months down the road when you're using the filter. So with the ceramic and the Gary Noel AIO Ultra, you don't have any regrowth of bacteria parasites. They're trapped in there at a much more effective efficiency. And not only that, we see over the years that the waters become so dirty that the surface of most filters get clogged up. And if you have a standard carbon block, you can't clean it. It clogs up. You have to throw it out. A very unique feature of the ceramic is that you, when it slows down, the flow rate slows down, you can take a Scotch-Brite pad, a plain abrasive pad, take it out of the filter housing and brush it off on the cold water, and you can restore the flow rate. You can remove the sediment that's trapped on the surface, restore the flow rate. Now, that's very important in a lot of cities. Now, I lived in New York City for years around the area. We have clients up there. The waters can become very, very dirty. You have old rotting main pipes. Some of the filters that are in there for months, they literally look like brown sludge. This is the iron and the sediment that's coming out of these old rotting main pipes. So the ceramic will trap all that sediment. And when it slows down the filter, you could just brush it off and restore the flow rate. So it extends the life of the filter. That's very important. So you don't have to keep changing filters all the time. And the filters generally last up to a year. So you have a ceramic that's much more effective. Inside the ceramic, you have this metal gun material, and it's been tested to NSF standards 42, 53, and 401. So let me explain that. When you make a claim that you're reducing a particular contaminant, it has to be tested to a certain standard. And NSF protocols, those are the protocols used in the industry to document your claims of what you're reducing. For example, chloramine. Now, chloramine, again, is a little more difficult to get rid of instead of chlorine. To reduce it, you need better carbon material. So the ceramic filter, the metal gun filter, Gary Noel, has been tested for chloramines, and there's 99% reduction of chloramines, up to 700 gallons of use. That's a lot of water. 99% reduction of chloramine, up to 700 gallons. Chlorine, if they're not using chloramine, you can get up to 1,000 gallons. So for an average family, say, of two or three people, that could last you up to a year of regular use. Now, fluoride, this is a very distinct difference on the Gary Noel filter versus every other filter out on the market. All the other filters that are out there either use activated alumina, which is not used here. They use sometimes bone char, which we don't use here. And they're not really effective against the new forms of fluoride, fluorosilicic acid or hydrofluorosilicate. The Gary Noel filter has been tested against all forms of fluoride, all forms. And it's been found to reduce 92% of all forms of fluoride up to 0.8 parts per million. Now, that's the new standard that's allowable. Years ago, the EPA set a standard of 4 parts per million, which today is way, way too high. So the new standard they found that's acceptable is 0.8 parts per million. So the Gary Noel filter will reduce up to 0.8 parts per million of fluoride, 92%. That's the best of any filter on the market. Lead reduction. Lead is common everywhere. Up to 150 parts per billion of lead are reduced, 99%, or greater than 99%. That's very significant. THMs and HAAs, we're getting 98% reduction of all the byproducts. So, again, you have a whole range of chemicals and heavy metals that are reduced by the Gary Noel AIO Ultra filter. I'll give you a couple more. It's been tested against glyphosate. Glyphosate is a very toxic substance that's been used in agriculture. We all know about it. 99.9% reduction of glyphosate. That's significant. And I mentioned earlier about the pharmaceuticals. They found 41 different pharmaceuticals in the water supplies of the United States. Gary Noel AIO Ultra has been tested against 15 different pharmaceuticals according to NSF standard 401, and it reduced greater than 95% of the 15 different pharmaceuticals that were tested against. Again, that's very, very outstanding. A few other things. Herbicides have been reduced 99%, so there's a lot of pesticides and herbicides in the water. And finally, sediment. I mentioned it gets everything down to 0.5 microns reduction. And overall, you're looking at parasite reduction, chloramine reduction, sediment, fluoride, lead, heavy metals, VOCs, glyphosate, pharmaceuticals, and it's a cleanable filter. It doesn't regrow bacteria, and you have the best parasite-reducing filter on the market. That's outstanding. There's no other filter that I've ever reviewed or seen on the marketplace that can do all of those chemicals and toxic substances and remove them as well as the Garino AI Ultra filter.
And one thing you didn't mention is that the water actually tastes amazing.
Tastes great.
It tastes absolutely amazing.
It does reduce bad taste and odor, yes. It does.
Yeah. And so the more water we drink as well, Gary can attest to this, the more water that we drink, the more pure, clean water that we drink, the better for our bodies. I'm going to throw out that phone number again, and then I'm going to throw it back to Gary Knoll. Folks, if you're interested in getting this very important for your health thank you gift from WBAI, you can call this number. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Now, these are limited. We do not have unlimited resources here. These are limited, so you do want to make that phone call as soon as you can, and you want to ask for Gary Knoll's AIO Ultra Water Filter. The water filter will be sent to you, to your home, with our love and appreciation, and it is available to you for a pledge of just $225. 212-209-2950. Gary?
Let's just make this as simple as possible. Most people, 93 to 95% of Americans each day, do not do what is in their own health best interest. These are not stupid people. That's a cliche that doesn't work. Because if you ask these people, what have you mastered? They will have mastered their career, many of them their family, being a parent, being a productive member of society. The vast majority are good people of all backgrounds, all ethnicities, all cultures, all ages. And yet, as a nation, we have been so propagandized, starting with Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And he became America's first propagandist. And he mastered the art of taking a want and making it a need. And so you're looking at something that you shouldn't have, you shouldn't own it, you shouldn't eat it, you shouldn't consume it, but because you've been convinced by the sparkle and the ethereal world that all these advertisements are about, that you're going to be just as special as that person. And we've all seen this. We've seen the Italian-looking young models, the male and the female in a car, and they're racing in the middle of the night on a street in Manhattan that has no one else on it, and it's raining, and they're looking at each other in the red car, and it comes screeching up, and we think, wow. You know, and the subconscious message is, if you want to be this popular and this sexy, buy this car. Well, of course, it's stupid on every level, but it works. And just imagine this. They used to sell you a hamburger, and the hamburger just came with a bun and then some pickles and some iceberg lettuce and some French fries. But then someone got the idea of product differentiation. I'm going to make a product that's as good as that but add something else. And then they added the cheeseburger, then the double cheeseburger, added cheese and two other elements. Now they've actually got fried chicken sandwiched with two glazed donuts. And that's both the most served thing I've ever seen, but people are buying it. In fact, if you look at we've got bacon because people want bacon, and we've got sausage. Well, sausage and bacon both come from a pig, and we've got the cheese, lots of cheese, and we've got more cheese on our pizza. It comes out of the crust, and it's stringy. You know, it's like they yes. do in your mouth at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you think, oh my God, and thank good for time in the bathroom to brush your teeth and mouthwash. And now people have this mucus all over their body because it's a high allergen, and the crust has acrylamides in it. The bottom line is that we are a nation obese. We are a nation that is so overweight that we're the fattest nation in the world per population. And, of course, that leads to comorbidities. That's one of the top two comorbidities to get people infected with COVID into the hospital or die. And the other is emphysema. So, or upper respiratory tract infections and distress. But then we smoke. And then we eat junk foods, including drinking a lot of sugar. Then we end up with 40% of the American population has non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which kills you. And we have all these other conditions, heart disease and cancers and inflammatory conditions. And we wonder, why me? And it's not because the person's stupid. Again, let's just understand, you can take anyone, pretty much, and if you condition them long enough over a whole lifetime that A is good and B is not, a lot of people are going to go to A, even when it's against their own best interest. So if that's the case, then how many people are going to be interested if they're not interested in eating right, not interested in exercising, not interested in dealing with social issues and environmental issues, then are they likely to care about a water filter? The answer is absolutely no. I make that statement because it's just the truth. In my long experience in this field, 54 years, by the way, 45 of those on WBAI. But here's the good news. The people who tend to listen to a program about health already are aligning many things in their life to be healthier. Maybe it was a disease, maybe a heart attack, maybe a stroke, maybe a cancer that got them to wake up. But once awakened, they become really wanting to repurpose their life in a healthy way. So those people are people who are attending to other people and know that if there's one nutrient you've got to put in the body more than vitamin C and vitamin D and B-complex and protein, fat, and carbohydrates is water. I mean, just imagine. More than your bones, more than your muscle, more than your skin and your organs, your water is the dominant feature, and it's in every cell. The quality of that water is what determines whether or not you stay healthy or you get sick. Now, the body can adapt. We've all seen the person on the street, unfortunately, and before COVID, by the way. This has been going on for a long time because as a society, we have not dealt honestly and ethically and spiritually with our homeless or poor people. We've created this great divide, this great income disparity. And so some people have no choice. They're on their own on the streets, and they'll eat out of a trash can or a dumpster. Now, if you went over there and you started eating a half-eaten sandwich or you drank the rest of a soda, I can assure you you're going to be in a hospital in a few hours with maybe dysentery and diarrhea and possibly even die. But why aren't they? Because over a period of time, their body adapts. It doesn't get better for them. It just means in that moment, they're less likely to succumb to the multitude of bacteria that is overwhelming their system. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's a maladaptation. So if you start caring about your body, you got to start with water. And if nothing else, make sure that you have water. Well, I don't want people drinking bottled water because, first of all, a lot of the bottled water is not as clean as they advertise. A lot of the so-called spring waters don't come from actual springs. And especially against Nestle, because I boycott Nestle products. And Nestle pays hundreds of dollars for water rights to, you know, take millions of gallons of water out of the ground. And their rights supersede your community rights. And there are communities around the United States that are running out of water. And yet Nestle... So I'm concerned that we have a better way. Now, mind you, I don't make one penny from this, not a nickel. Everything goes to the station because we want to be able to offer this at the lowest price, save you a lot of money, and you're making a big savings, and help the station. Because at the end of the week, or every 2 weeks, the station is going to pay its salaries, and at the end of the month, its bills, its rent. It's trying to be as responsible as it can be with the limited resources. Remember, there was a time back in 2002 where we were raising $85,000 average per day. We're now lucky to raise $3,000 per day. We just had a $74 day. By the way, that's true of all the Pacifica stations for all different reasons. But one thing's important. We have a lot of programs that deal with helping a person on all levels, mental health, physical health, and that, of course, includes lifestyle modification, but also social issue health. So we are a leader. We just have a very small audience at this time. We're hoping to become relevant again. We have 0.1% of the audience, but that can change. We're up against a lot of podcasts, thousands of podcasts, very good podcasts, by the way. And so we have to change our whole dynamic. But we also have to have enough money just to survive. And we're talking about survival income now. So when you call the station, when you call the number Christine's going to give you in a second, you're getting something that, A, helps the station immediately pay bills. B, the average radio station, even in Pacifica, has about 14 or so employees, and we are way down. What are we down to, 6 or 7 employees? We're half of what ideally we should be at. So we've got to come to grips with helping the station, but also helping ourselves. It would be nice to know that every time you go to brush your teeth, to cook something, to drink water, that you're putting that water into your body, and it's thinning the blood. That's good for your health. It is helping to mind your body's also electrical and biochemical. You need proper hydration for that, because a lot of people, especially get older, they go through a process where the brain no longer is able to tell them they are thirsty, drink, or they've had enough, stop. Hydrodipsia and polydipsia. And by the way, to tell you how serious this is, over 3,000 people died last year in nursing homes because they were malnourished and or they were so thirsty. And the staff, mind you, this is not a free place out there in these nursing homes, yet the staff was so grossly negligent that people died needlessly. And this has been going on for decades, the abuse of senior citizens. So one of the very first things I do when I counsel people is I go over how hydrated they are. And there's a simple test. It's called the impedance test. You can actually buy an impedance machine for like $30 yourself, and so you do it. It tells you how much body fat you have, body mass index. It tells you how much muscle you have, how much bone you have, and how much hydration or water you have, and then your real weight. And if you watch that on a regular basis, you can rebalance your own body chemistry at home. And there's so many illnesses you can help prevent. So we're not talking about something that has no significance. We're talking about something that has real significance that's very important that could help you. And so I use a water filter. I filter my water. And I hope that those in the audience who care about their health realize that the number one ingredient in your body is water. Let's make it as clean and healthy and pure and chemical-free as possible. And by the way, every single study coming out now that talks about plastics in the water, medicines in the water, chemotherapy in the water, all forms of heart disease, statin drugs, all in the water. And this is in there because people have to pass out the water out of their body, and the chemicals are in there, and then they don't all get filtered out, nor industrial pollutants get filtered out. So our body is just accumulating massive amounts of these toxicants, and we need to get them out. And water is one of the best ways of cleansing and purifying, detoxifying you can do. Christine?
Well, and, you know, when you were talking about the pharmaceuticals that are in the water, I just remember seeing some of the inserts about the side effects of antidepressants. One of them that I saw was, thoughts of suicide, suicidal thoughts. So it's a soup. It's like almost like a toxic soup that we are introducing into our bodies and our children's bodies, the brains of our children who are just developing, our toddlers, all of that. It's so vitally important to make sure that the water is absolutely pure and not full of heavy metals, fluoride, pharmaceuticals. Now with so many people getting the vaccine, rushing out to get these vaccines for COVID, that's going to be introduced. That's going to be a whole nother level. And Dr. Spicer, you might have to do another test to see what's in the water supply with millions of people putting these vaccines into their body and that being transferred into the water supply as well. So now is a really important time to protect yourself, to protect your family, and to make sure that you have that pure, clean drinking water. And it actually, and it does, it tastes amazing. I can testify to that because the filter that they are using that Dr. Spicer is talking about in Gary Knoll's Ultra Water Filter, the AIO Ultra Water Filter, it actually makes the water taste delicious, which means you and your kids are going to drink more water. When it tastes good, you drink more. That's just how it is. Here's the phone number again, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Ask for Gary Knoll's AIO Ultra Water Filter. It's available to you for a $225 pledge. And here's the thing. If you know of someone who needs this, and we all do, but if you know of someone that really could use this, maybe their health has not been very good. Maybe it's an elderly person that's in your family. Maybe it's someone who's immune compromised. This makes a beautiful gift for them. So please call because these are limited. So we want to get the man. Call that number right now, 212-209-2950. And Dr. Spicer, I had just mentioned about these vaccines and things. Is that something that you might be looking into in the future, in the near future?
Well, they're always looking at what they call the emerging contaminants. These are contaminants that haven't existed in the water supply years ago. And I gave you two examples. One is the PFOS and PFOA chemicals that came from fire retardants and other consumer products that are now showing up in the water. Dioxane is another chemical that's been showing up in the water. If you go back 10, 20 years ago, no one even thought about pharmaceuticals being in the water. Now they're finding pharmaceuticals such as progesterone, ibuprofen, naproxen, acetaminophen, lithium. So all these pharmaceuticals that have been either excreted out of humans or dumped. A lot of people just take their medication, dump them down the toilet when they're finished. It gets into the water supply. So anything is possible down the road, you know, and I'm sure there'll be hundreds of new contaminants showing up over the next decade or two. But Gary brought up a very critical point. You have to look at this from the beginning. If a pregnant woman is drinking water that's unfiltered and there's fluoride in it, and I mentioned about that, or heavy metals and all these chemicals and pharmaceuticals, what impact does that have on the fetus as it's developing? What happens when the baby is born? You know, what's the effect neurologically, physiologically? What's their potential for developing diseases further on down the line as they get older? Because all of these contaminants, especially heavy metals, accumulate. It's called bioaccumulation. So drinking water full of lead, like in Flint, Michigan, had devastating effects on the population. That'll never be filtered out. I mean, all those people that drank that water are now have their bodies full of lead. What's the effect on children neurologically and their intelligence quotient, their learning ability or disabilities that will develop? So this is really a crucial importance to the health of our country that we do not continue to consume toxic substances on a daily basis that will accumulate and have devastating impacts on our health later on in life. So, you know, to answer your question specifically, anything is possible. I don't know if the vaccinations will have byproducts that'll eventually wind up in our environment. Certainly when they dispose of the needles, anything hypodermics, and I know pharmaceuticals, hospitals dump tons and tons of pharmaceuticals and toxic substances into the ground. And many of these toxic waste dumps have leached chemicals over the last few decades. I was living on Long Island for 30 years, and now they have over 200 identified EPA Superfund sites that have leached chemicals and toxic substances in the water supply that people are drinking. And I deal with this on a regular basis because I have hundreds and hundreds of customers on Long Island in the New York, New Jersey area. So it's just a never-ending battle. And you know, until we stop this dumping and use of toxic substances and using our water as a repository for all this waste, we're going to be drinking water, unless you filter it, that's full laden with toxic substances. And again, you know, water, and Gary mentioned it, is a nutrient. It's a solvent. All physiological reactions occur in an aqueous environment. We need this. It's essential to our living. So if we keep loading our bodies up every day with these toxic substances, not only are we not allowing the normal physiological process to occur, we're toxifying our body, interrupting the normal endocrine functions and physiological functions. And there's no way, if you're trying to recover from a devastating disease, are you going to be able to be healthy if you continue to load your body up with toxic substances? So it's crucial that we not only ultimately clean up our environment and stop dumping into it, but that we protect ourselves on an individual level by filtering out these toxic substances and drinking and consuming clean, healthy water.
Christine, we're at the end of our program, and I want to thank everyone for listening. Hopefully you've learned some new insights about why we can't take for granted what we all have to take every day, water into our systems. Why not just common sense, put the best water we can into our body, clean, healthy water, because the water coming out of the tap, I would never recommend anyone assume is safe. And if you doubt me, why don't you take a sample of your water in a sterile jar and take it to one of the land-based colleges that test water and have it tested. See for yourself how many parasites, how much lead, how much of the different dozens of chemicals could be in there, and you would never know it looking at that clear glass of water. So we're out of time, everyone. One last call to action. Thank you, Dr. Roy Spicer, and over to you, Christine Bosdell.
Thanks, Gary. And thank you, Dr. Spicer, as well, for your lifelong work relating to the health of water and creating healthy water through these filters. Folks, if you would like to get yours, it's really easy to do. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You can use your Visa, American Express, MasterCard, whatever you like, but make that phone call right now and ask for Gary Knowles' AIO Ultra Water Filter. This will be delivered to your home. It is an above-the-counter water filter you can hook up super easy to your water system, and it is available to you for just a $225 pledge of support to this incredible radio station. 212-209-2950.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice day.
Good evening. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. This Gary Knowles special came to you on recording over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Coming up at 8 o'clock is What's Happening with Ralph Pointer and Betty Davis. So please, stay tuned.
WBAI is local station board, the Pacifica Foundation Board, responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next meeting on Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be the occasion of a delegate assembly to elect WBAI representatives to the Pacifica National Board. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held through the Zoom remote meeting service. The meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. That's 922.457.2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So it's 995.995.99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure hope that you do.
Untitled, produced and hosted by Malika Lee Whitney, will be heard on Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Untitled presents features on the arts, culture, education, and social issues. You will also enjoy music from a variety of genres. Special guests complement the program with insightful and engaging conversation. That's Untitled, Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. over listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
This is Imhotep Gary Bird giving double thanks to WBAI listeners. For many years, you've supported my Friday show, The Global Beat Experience, and The Global Beat, where we explore the full dimension of black music and politics. And more recently, you've made my new Sunday evening program, Radio GBE Mind Flight, your gateway to the black experience, a success as well. In that spirit, I hope you show some of that same enthusiasm to some friends of mine who host a new show highlighting the people, music, and venues that made Harlem a cultural mecca. It's called The Harlem Connection. You're invited to get on board and take the journey every Friday evening with the GBE at 7, Untitled at 9, and The Harlem Connection at 10, right here on WBAI.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a celebration. The award-winning Midnight Ravers can now be heard every Friday from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. So wake the town and tell the people. We'll continue to present the best in music, history, and social commentary, along with expert discussion of the important issues and events of today and yesteryear. So keep it locked into WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
Greetings, this is Savion Glover, and you're listening to WBAI in New York. Enjoy.
And as you know, freedom ain't free. So we're hoping you will call in at some point and make a donation to our Tower Fund for 212-209-2950 is the number to be able to do that. And without further ado, we have a special guest, and I'm going to let our co-host, Ralph Pointer, tell you all about it. What's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Activist Radio. And this evening, we have a special guest for you to talk about what's real. We have Ana Lopez. And the topic is the gentrification of Puerto Rico and our barrios, our communities. And also, in the USA, counterinsurgencies and ethnic cleansing strategies by the government. Now, Ana Lopez, very long biography, But I'll give you a little bit of what's happening with Ana Lopez, a longtime Puerto Rican independence activist and advocate and a human rights fighter. 33 years as an educator, assistant professor of humanities department, Latin American and Caribbean studies of Eugenio Maria de Hostos Community College of CUNY in the South Bronx. That's New York Higher Education. Bilingual curriculum development for secondary education, writer, journalist, political activist, and community strategist for building human rights. Freedom campaigns, excuse me. The National Committee to Free Puerto Rican Political Prisoners and Prisoners of War, 1980-1999, and lead founder and organizer of the New York Coordinator to Free Oscar Lopez Rivera, and I could go on forever. But tonight, we're going to stick to what's real and what we understand. Now, the corporate media talks much about disaster capitalism. It's a book written by Naomi Klein. But we're going to get down to what it is and how it relates to all of us. And let's go right to Ana Lopez. The microphone is open. Ana Lopez, tell us what's happening and what disaster capitalism example is going on today. Ana.
Well, I wanted to talk about gentrification that is taking place in Puerto Rico and has been heightened in after Hurricane Maria and U.S. Benign neglect of Puerto Rico after the hurricane. So that has caused in Puerto Rico the value of properties to drop. In the 1900s, 83% of the Puerto Rican people were owners of their own property. Today, there's only like 20% that own their own properties. And there's been a persistent strategy of the United States to depopulate Puerto Rico to cause what we call it the open exodus valve to remove people from Puerto Rico and replace the population with foreign population and North Americans there. So now the North American, especially people, the wealthy, are looking at Puerto Rico as a tax haven for themselves. So they go there and set up shop, and they don't have to pay taxes because there is no federal taxation in Puerto Rico. So it's a win-win for investors and outsiders, but it's a losing situation for the Puerto Rican people in Puerto Rico. But I want to talk to you about what is gentrification. And to look at gentrification from a counterinsurgency perspective, because no one is giving it this perspective. It is really important that we understand that gentrification is part of that. So I want to do a little back history, very brief. And this has happened in the United States to communities here in the United States, in particular to the Black community. And during the 60s and 70s, this was really put in full force and effect by the U.S. government to destroy the African-American communities in the United States.
Yes.
And it definitely had a counterinsurgency military strategy. And it is that same strategy that is being used in Puerto Rico, and it's having a devastating effect on our people. So what is this counterinsurgency? So I don't know if Ralph and Betty, we remember Lyndon B. Johnson commissioned the Kerner Commission. It was a think tank commission in the 70s to how to resolve civil unrest. There was, you know, you had the civil rights movement, you had the anti-war movement, you had the women's rights movement, and you had national liberation movements taking place in the United States. And they didn't know how to take care, you know, how are we going to quash this?
Yes.
And so they created, and this think tank was, the members of this think tank of the Kerner Commission were FBI, CIA, local police that were all involved in this commission. And their plot was, how do we stop, brown people from organizing and resisting everything yes. that we're doing, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was very, and COINTELPRO falls into this and so forth. So I want to, and they used the word, they didn't use the word gentrification. They used the word spatial deconcentration.
Exactly.
And if you read, and this is part of, and they had the HUD administration sort of run this through. HUD is the Housing Urban Development Agency in the federal government. And they're the ones that were in charge of doing this. But why housing? Well, how do you depopulate people? You take away their housing, right?
Exactly.
You take away their housing, there's no way that they're going to live there. And they was really afraid of how powerful the resistance of Black people, especially in the area of Washington, D.C., near the power, the center of power, right?
Yes.
And so they really targeted the Black communities and really tried to destroy them and displace them, and all those organizations like the Black Panther, the Black Liberation Army, and all the groups that were resisting this incredible racial injustice that was taking place and it continues to take place in the United States. So they put this counterinsurgency perspective in. And it hasn't gone away. People think the 60s and 70s is over. No, it's still there. It's still there and it's still taking place and it's destroying our community. So now the words that they use to sort of legalize what they're doing, right? They use eminent domain. Eminent domain says that the state can use their power and take away your property. And the hell with you. They have no, right? They're using the word like, oh, we have to rezone the area.